The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore offers hope to weather the storms in your life.
If you could tell me just on one little hand how many storms you have going right now. I mean, just like, can't we just go through one thing at a time? Does anybody ever think that besides me? Because you know that the storm you're going through is showing all over your face and probably all over your hair. Would somebody say amen to that?
Wrecked but not ruined. Next on Life Today.
What a joy to share this time with you. I'm James Robertson. My wife Betty and I welcome you to Wednesdays with Beth, a regular feature on Life Today. This is an outreach of a ministry that is Life Outreach International all over the world. And we share life, not just in word, but in deed. As a matter of fact, you're going to see some images of tremendous need that love meets. And the beautiful thing about the viewers, so many are like Beth and her husband, Keith, they don't just talk about doing something meaningful, they do it. And they don't just teach the word, they demonstrate the word. And I'm telling you, as you listen to Beth proclaim and teach about a life that may be wrecked, may have been in a wreck, but is not ruined. As a matter of fact, it's part of a book, The Life That Overcomes, that we're offering, and you can get it. It literally takes many of these incredible teachings, puts them in print, and they have transforming power. So I want you to welcome Beth Moore. Here's Beth.
If you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 27. And if you're able to grab a Bible, get it and sit down for a few minutes if you can. If not, while you're just doing whatever you need to do at home, if you're perhaps on a break at work and watching on the internet, whatever you may be doing, if you can grab some scriptures, do it. But if not, I'm going to read it to you anyway. So we want you to completely plug in. And when I ask a question and ask them to answer it out loud, I want you to do that too. The more you get into it, the more fun you will have and the more personal this word will become to you. I got to tell you something. I've got a brand new Bible this time around. And I get a new one about every 4 to 5 years. By the time I've marked it up good where I start to anticipate what the word is going to be on that page, I know it's time for a new one. If I've written all over it and I've marked it up, then it's time to get a new one. But I never can find anything in the new one, you can understand. So you will be so blessed to know in this series, probably we will not be in Micah, Nahum, Jonah. We're not going to say a word about Jonah that we can, if we can keep from it until the very end of this particular series, but it's so much fun because the word just leaps off the page at you again. You don't anticipate that that's going to be the one thing that's going to mean something to you. The whole page is wide open. I just encourage you, if it's been a while, get a brand new one and start all over again. We're going to be in this series for about 6 or so Wednesdays, so it'll be a two-part series out of the book of Acts and the 27th chapter. Now, let me give you a little bit of background before I start reading to you. I'm going to start reading at verse 13, but let me tell you what's happened here. We're going to catch up with the Apostle Paul, who is in trouble as he often was. Now, he's been imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 solid years, and he has been asking, really pleading and begging to go to Rome so that he can be tried there as a citizen. Now, he's got one thing on his mind. His concern is not being tried and not having a fair trial. He wants to get the gospel to Rome, because to get word to Rome was to get word to the world. It was the big apple of his day. If whatever New York City is to us, that was Rome to them. You get something going there and it will spread all over that world, and that's exactly what happened. So they uncover a plot to take his life and decide they better send him on. By this time, he's made friends, and they have favor for him, and they decide to send him on this ship to Rome, head him out with about 275 other passengers. Now, he is with Luke at least. We don't know who else may have been in the party with them, but it was at least he and Luke, because Luke is the one being inspired to pen the book, and it's going to be about the story that they encounter on this boat. With that in mind, Acts 27, verse 13 through 20 to begin with. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force, called the Northeaster, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and we were driven along. And as we passed to the lee of the small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. That would be Paul and Luke included. There are times even the most spiritual ones among us, perhaps, are giving up all hope of being saved. These are the verses that will take our attentions as we get started in this series. Because here's what I want you to see. It says that a wind of hurricane force called a northeaster, that means that a wind was coming from the north and a wind was coming from the east to pull together a storm of great force. And we'll begin by making 6 points that we're going to work through over our series together. The first one is this. I want you to build upon as we look at life in this kind of a storm, in this kind of a shipwreck. Number one is this. Sometimes we're standing in the exact spot where several storms collide. I know that's a long sentence, but it's a true sentence if you'll ever write one down. Sometimes, number one, we're standing in the exact spot where several storms collide. You take a moment to jot that down, and I want you to think it through, and I want you to just peruse your own personal life right now. And I wonder if you could tell me just on one little hand how many storms you have going right now. I mean, just like, can't we just go through one thing at a time? Does anybody ever think that besides me? I mean, why does everything have to come crashing down at once? And it seems like, I mean, it'll just be like, does everybody hate me today? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, what? What? I mean, it's like, do I have something on me that asks you to pick on me today? I mean, where it'll be everything coming in at the same time. Sometimes frustrating things. Sometimes my daughter's identity got stolen here recently with her bank account. $400 out of her account before she knew what happened. Turn around and then you have a plumbing repair that costs you $500, even more than what you lost before. And then you find out maybe, and this is not my daughter, I'm just talking now relatively speaking for anybody that might be tuning in, then maybe your mother-in-law moves in and maybe she moves in with her cat and maybe you are allergic to her cat. And maybe you find something dreadful on the laptop, and maybe you get to work that particular day and somebody says, you know, you look tired today. You know, it's like, what are you supposed to say to that? And then they go, well, I don't mean you don't look good. I mean, you just look tired. It's too late. It's too late. Because you know that the storm you're going through is showing all over your face and probably all over your hair. Would somebody say amen to that? Storms colliding all in one place. You find out at a time like that just how little control we all have in life. Nothing like it to remind us that we are not in sovereign charge of our lives. I had my grandson and granddaughter last night. Yesterday was my oldest daughter's birthday. She is 31 years old. And I had both of the babies. My grandson Jackson is 4 and a half, and my granddaughter is a delicious 21 months, and I could just eat them both alive. I love them so much. But he says really, really funny things, and he's got a tremendous amount of energy and an extremely enthusiastic personality. Maybe you know one place he gets it. But our personality stays in a lot of trouble. It just always has. And so, you know, he gets into it quite often. And one of the things that they'll say to him, they're such good parents, they've been teaching him how to have self-control, how to have some self-control. What's your engine on? How much is it revved up right now? They know how to get him to count between a 1 and a 10 about where's your engine right now, Jackson. They'll talk to him. And they talk to him about having control. So last night when they were about to leave him and go out on their birthday date, they said, now, Jackson, want you to be so good for Bibby. That's my grandmother named Bibby. Be so good for you. He goes, I know, I have a troll. And I looked at him. I said, you've got a what, baby? He goes, I have a troll. Well, he doesn't realize they're saying have control. He just hears have a troll. So some of you, you know, going through a hard time and you really do think you have a troll right now, but actually we find out how little control we've had all along. And it could be something devastating. And this happens all the time. I get letters that I can't even fathom that I'm reading, where someone will be diagnosed with cancer and going through very drastic chemotherapy, and the spouse can't take it and leaves. And you're saying, you got to be kidding. I mean, you really, honestly, you've got to be kidding. Someone needs to put you in timeout. I mean, someone. But it happens, and it happens a lot. And those are storms colliding all at the same time. And the only thing you can tell to be the common denominator is you. And you're here, and they're all colliding right on you. And that's exactly what was happening with Luke and with Paul and the crew aboard this ship. We're just surrounded by chaos. I wonder if anybody in this audience, anybody on the other side of that screen, just feels like there's just like nothing but chaos in your personal world. Somebody told me the other day an acrostic for chaos. I'd never seen it before. You've probably seen it 1,000. You probably tweeted it this morning on Twitter. But it says this: chaos, can't have anyone over syndrome. Isn't that the best? When you can't have anyone over syndrome. I mean, there's that kind of craziness in your household that, you know what, now is not the best time for your 16-year-old to have company. There are a lot of people that really would not. This is not the week to have the pastor over. Anybody understand what I'm saying to him? Just chaos. A northeaster. Two storms coming together. Now, there was a movie that came out in 1991 that was called The Perfect Storm. And it was based on a true story of a ship called the Andrea Gale, a 72-foot steel-hulled sword fishing boat that left the coast of the very northeastern tip of our nation and went out at the end of October, which would have been heading toward the winter season, for their big catch. And while they were there, about a week in, there came a storm, a low-pressure storm, a high-pressure storm, low-pressure off of the Great Lakes, high-pressure coming off of Canada, hit by a late-season hurricane coming off of North Carolina, plunged into it, and it became a 2,000-foot frisbee. Three storms coming together, and they called it the perfect storm. The perfect storm. Now, the word perfect is a very interesting word in the scriptures. In the New Testament, it doesn't always mean in its context to be flawless or sinless. Although that's what we know of when it means the perfection of Christ and the perfection of His plan for us. We know those things mean completely sinless and flawless in every way. But there is another meaning to the word teleos in the Greek language that means to bring something to its goal or to its fulfillment. And what I want to just present to you as we start this series together is that sometimes God allows some storms to come together in such a way that they fulfill something ultimately that would never have happened otherwise. That there is a plan, as hard as it is to see in the wind, As hard as it is to see in the waves, there really is a plan going on. And somehow in it, that whatever we're going through, we really do get to be part of, whether or not it will be a destructive storm or a perfect storm. I thought it was so interesting about the Andrea Gale and the perfect storm back in 1991. It says a quote out of the National Weather Service forecasting. David Valley said this, and I'm quoting, "This was truly an awesome example of nature trying to take advantage of everything she's got." Nature taking advantage of everything she's got. Well, I want to tell you something. We have something a whole lot worse than Mother Nature to deal with. We really do have an unseen enemy and powerful foes in invisible places. And this is a war. It's a war. And somehow we think that surely the enemy would have scruples enough not to hit us when we're down. But that's exactly where he looks. Exactly the spot where he goes to kick as hard as he can. So why on earth would God allow something like that to happen? I want you to look back, because I think there's this, just as we get started, there's this wonderful portion that just keeps speaking to me over and over again. In verse 13, look back at that verse. It says, "When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted." They thought they had obtained what they wanted. I just want to present to you that sometimes we really do think we have obtained what we wanted, and God still has something for us we have yet to discover. And yes, He will let some winds blow and collide right where we're standing to bring us to a place where we are no longer satisfied with what we had in Him. But we know that there is a whole world of relationship to be had in Christ Jesus, far beyond anything this human realm could give us. We'll think we've just obtained what we wanted. And it occurred to me that so much in our material society, we'll talk about having a desire for too much, when spiritually and scripturally speaking, sometimes we're satisfied with way too little. And a storm comes along to blow everything that can be blown. As the book of Hebrews says, to shake everything that can be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will stand. It will stand.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
You know, God is very emphatic in the Word about everything that can be shaken being shaken, in order that that which cannot be will remain. You know, our lives are shaken by messages, by not only wrecks or accidents or some catastrophic event, but relationships that sometimes fail or falter in some way, and the doubts come, and it's very real. But please understand that God is anxious to lift us up out of a ditch, out of a pit, out of the pain, and literally establish our lives. Father, I pray for everyone that feels like I've hit a wall. And I pray, dear God, that they would sense Your loving arms around them, not only in truth they hear, but in presence, that You're holding them. You want them to live in Your shadow and shelter. God, help them to receive that reality. In Jesus' name, remember, if you want someone to pray with you, that number's paid for by love. Don't ever hesitate to call and say, "I need you to pray with me." Oftentimes, you'll find a prayer partner that's experienced some of the same challenges you have. Betty and I always encourage our viewers to do something that we have found that's so meaningful, and that is to live beyond yourself, to literally make a difference in someone else's world in the way that you might want God or someone in love to make a difference in your world. Let me show you some beautiful images of love touching a need. And then I want you to look and notice what happens when the manifestation of that love is not there. And we are, yes, you, me, Betty, each one of us, were the answer to the need that you will see that can bring the joy that everyone longs for. Watch closely. Do you know that for the past 10 years, at least that long a period, Betty's prayer that the line to feed the children would always be longer than the line that needed the food, only recently, and I understand the economic pressure, and I'm praying in pursuing God and His will to lead us back into the blessings of a nation and a people that honor God and don't mock God. But I understand the economic tightening, but nobody understands it better than the missionaries when they have no food. Betty and I have been there. When the desperation, when children have stood waiting long periods of time, and they see children come away with a bowl of food, and then all of a sudden, when they think they've reached it, there is no more. That has to be one of the most tragic, sad sights I can ever attempt to describe. Impossible for you to understand what it feels like when you're there. When the missionaries are there, they've left their comfort, they've planted themselves in the midst of pain and suffering to alleviate it in love, and they run out. It's been happening. Father, correct it. Provide. Provide the needs of every viewer and provide for these precious ones that the missionaries are so anxious to assist. In Jesus' name, listen to me. Here's the answer. Can you feed three? $30 for the next month. Could you feed 10 children? $100. Now think about what I'm saying to you. A single gift keeps feeding for the next months. $100, 10 children. And I must ask you, there may be some who say, James, I understand what you're talking about, because I know some people, they're having some challenges. I could give 1,000. I could feed 100. If you can, do it. Please. Please do it. But each one of you, because I don't want you to think this doesn't matter, $30, $50, three children, five children for the next months. For those three, for those five, it's a matter of life. How do you describe how great that blessing is? It's a life blessing. We want to send you, for any gift, to help us feed those children. Beth Moore's been many times to the mission field. She and her husband Keith have been among the greatest supporters of our outreaches. And of course, she's on every Wednesday. Join with her. Let's help them. But ask for the book, The Life That Overcomes. These are teachings that Beth has shared right here on Life Today. For those of you who will help us care for 10 children or more, in addition to Beth's book, The 90-Day Bible, the Bible read through in 90 days, incredible reading plan. Many people said, I want to read the Bible. This is an organized plan that will make it really easy and inspirational for you to do it. You will be saving the lives of 10 children, giving them a future, and we're going to put something in your hand that will go straight to your heart, and what a difference. Remember the beautiful bronze, the heart of the Father, for those of you who could make a $1,000 gift or more. Help us take care of 100 children. You'll also receive the books. Please take your bank card. Would you please do this now? So easy to say, well, I'll do it sometime. Would you do it now, please? Use the bank card like a check. Write a check, make it to Life. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift. Thank you for doing that. From the bottom of my heart, in behalf of those children and the missionaries, I say thank you.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
You know, we just express our thanks on behalf of the missionaries and the children. And I really do want to encourage you to help us take care of 10 children for the next months and ask for the Bible in 90 days. This is an incredible Bible study program that will take you through the Word of God in a very organized, inspirational fashion in 3 months, in 90 days. And then Beth Moore's book. We're sending this for any gift if you'll just help us care for these children. And if you help us care for 10 or more, the 90-day Bible, but also The Life That Overcomes. I really pray many of you will consider helping us take care of 100 children and ask for the beautiful bronze. What a wonderful, inspirational collectible. Thank you so much for being a friend for life.
Next week, Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy and Ruth Graham.
And we're sleeping through the alarms, and I believe God wants to wake us up in our relationship with Him.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.